the Untitled Leisure Project. We have a very special episode for you today. I am John Block, and I am joined by the wonderful former host of the Untitled Leisure Project, Mr. Daniel Varghese.
And resident expert in animated post-apocalyptic scenarios.
Of course. and that's obviously important because today we're going to talk about the not-quite-season premiere of Rick and Morty.
But effectively the season premiere.
Effectively the season premiere. We got that April Fool's actual season premiere anti-joke thing.
Anti-joke.
But yeah, so then this past weekend we had episode 2.
Season 3 of Rick and Morty!
Yes, and
Wubba Lubba Dub Dub! So excited!
My favorite Rick catchphrase is actually, there's one in the episode of the Imaginary People where they have like a flashback of him saying one, and there's one who's like, grass tastes bad. That's my favorite Rick catchphrase.
There's so many good isms in this show.
Like, there really are. So episode 2, Rickmancing the Stone.
Rickmancing the Stone.
A lot going on.
Do you know, okay, what is that a pun? I don't know what that is.
I'm not sure either. It probably references something.
Right. Because this is like the weird thing about Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland. They just like have these weird brains where they know so much random stuff that's like not related to anything. And so they throw just like super throwaway random references all the time that you just like, you can't, it's like a fire hose of those. So you pick out like individual ones, but I don't know if that's a reference to something.
I don't know.
Maybe one of our listeners is smarter than us.
Yeah, please let us know, listeners, what that's about.
If you're out here.
But Daniel, do you want to give a nice overview of the episode before we dive in?
Sure. So basically, the episode kind of starts with the aftermath of the last one, of the first episode, where Beth and Jerry's marriage is kind of falling apart, as it has been for the last three seasons, of course. But in the first episode of this season, it was kind of really the actual split was really engineered and done in this crazy, elaborate way by Rick. Like, you know, it was this very, very clever, very weird, like, power trip that we got to witness. And so in this episode, we're dealing with the fallout of that. We're dealing with the fact that Jerry's leaving, and all the other characters are kind of trying to grapple with this large event in their lives. And, you know, for a conventional show, this might just be a lot of people talking to each other. It might just be, like, dramatic and whatever. But, of course, in Rick and Morty, you know, the first impulse of all of the characters, especially Rick, is to just, like, shove it way under there. And so what they do is they, you know, like, they're saying goodbye to Jerry and Summer, who has apparently become a lot like Rick and as the seasons have progressed, it's just like, can we just go do something else? Can we go on an unrelated adventure? Like, clearly not caring about her father. And so they go into a new world, which happens to be like a post-apocalyptic Mad Max type scenario where, you know, the world has crumbled. The boom, after the boom boom.
The boom boom time.
After the boom boom time. And, you know, there's, Rick wants this substance that like has a lot of energy. Something 332. I don't remember.
It's some isotope.
Some isotope 332, yeah.
Or 313,
and
I don't know.
And it's more powerful than, like, another one that, you know, who knows if we actually ever encountered before.
Probably not. Those isotopes, and this is a powerful
one. Yeah, and that's what he wants. But basically, the whole episode kind of goes where Rick is like, we should stay here because I think we can get more of it. Summer starts to get enamored with the location because she's like, wow, this is, like, this crazy escape.
Sorry. Well, so they get a little bit, and then Summer is like, I want to stay.
Right. And then they find out that there's more, and Rick is like, oh, we should totally stay, even though Morty is like, this feels wrong, it feels like Summer is ignoring the divorce. Yeah, and even though he's kind of doing the same thing, he's shoved his emotions down too, which we get through this really strange, strange moment where Rick kind of extracts, there's this fighting ring, and there's like a disembodied gigantic muscular arm, and Rick extracts the essence from it and then injects it into Morty, and Armathy. Is that really what it's called?
Yeah.
God, this show. But basically, in like, if you haven't watched the episode yet, you really should. It is actually, I think, a very fantastic episode of TV because it does what Rick and Morty always does. It takes you on these fantastical, wild adventures that are just exercises in nihilism and all these weird, complicated themes, but really, and they're just these very odd, bizarre situations, but really what it's about is ultimately something very human and something very relatable. In this sense, it's trying to cope with a huge emotion. And eventually, kind of all the characters come back around and start to do that. You know, Morty has his moment you know, after something bad happens where he strangles a person, but Summer has her moment.
Rick helps.
You know, I took some of the blame. Rick has his moment when he goes back with to his home with Beth, and back home when he like leaves Rick, Morty, and Summer in the post-apocalyptic area.
Right, with robot Morty and Summer.
And he realizes that this is not what he wants. Mm. Even if it's like what he says he wants, what he thinks he wants, it's not. He's, you know, fundamentally flawed in that way. And Summer kind of realizes that, she realizes much less enthusiastically that the situation that she's in is not what she wants, and that she's really just like hiding from her actual problems. And she's really self-loathing about that, which is really a good detail about Summer. And even Beth kind of realizes that, like, she after Morty talks with her, she's like, this is, I'm holding on to a lot of emotion. I kind of need to let that go and move on and be okay with that. So I don't know. I personally thought this was an excellent episode, even though I think for me, some of the little things kind of got a little lost. I think some of the pacing was wrong. Some of the emotion ramped up too quickly and resolved too quickly. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think it was like a really solid episode. But I don't know, John, this is a 2-person podcast. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's like such a thing. And if there is, I haven't seen it yet, of a bad episode of Rick and Morty.
That's absolutely true.
They're all good.
There are some episodes in season 2 that I think are less good.
There are better episodes than others. They're not all like 10s, but
right.
They're all good to some extent.
They all definitely have moments of 10.
Yeah.
But did you like this episode?
I did like it. I mean, it wasn't one of my favorite episodes personally.
Okay.
But I mean, I still really liked it. I loved the kind of Jerry plot line. Any scene with Jerry in it in that episode was great.
That last, the like post credit scene where it's like him and the dog. It's just the most devastating thing. It's so...
You want my unemployment check?
But this literally has no value to you, and this is nourishment. Unless, like, my suffering is... Like, that's so, so tragic and perfect. Like,
yeah, poor Jerry.
Yeah. I really liked his reaction, too, to, like, Summer coming back with, like, the weird mutant head. Because he's gotten to the point where he, like, accepts all the weird things, but he's just like, oh, that's like, a really nice gesture. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And
he's still, like, kind of... He's kind of a loser, though.
Yeah.
The wind is kind of right.
No, I mean, yeah, he's divorced and living in a really crappy apartment where there are hookers everywhere. And he doesn't even know.
Is that what they are?
Which, I'm curious as to whether that's, like, a joke that they... Where he actually clearly knows that they're hookers. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what level... Like, if the creators are saying, like, no, Jerry is, like, that naive that he doesn't know that they're hookers, or if Jerry's just, like, trying to play it off, like, for Summer, and he's actually just been oogling them out of his window.
I feel like Jerry's pretty naive.
Yeah, and who knows, but I think both of those scenarios are actually plausible.
Yeah.
I know. What was kind of, like, your favorite moment of the episode? Like, what was the thing about this episode that you liked the most?
I mean, what made me laugh the hardest was the wind blowing... And then whispering, loser.
That was a great scene. I think I showed you. I was watching it with screenshot with my captions on, mm-hmm. and the moment where it just says wind voice loser, and it's just a screen of Jerry kind of just looking demure and confused. I took a screenshot of it and I tweeted it because I was like, this is the funniest thing.
It's
I've
amazing.
Ever seen.
It's hilarious.
It's just this perfect portrait of like that character.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Morty in that episode more than Summer.
Uh-huh.
I thought Summer kind of had that, like, relationship with the Buckethead guy.
Played, voiced by Joel McHale.
Right.
My favorite.
With a mustache.
that monologue was really funny.
That was really funny.
That's the thing this show does so well. It just, like, has those weird, super human moments, just, like, in the middle of these insanely unrealistic scenarios.
Right.
Like, he's just super insecure about the fact that he has a mustache underneath his bucket, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, what? What is this?
But I like the Morty and Armathy plot. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fun. And, like, while it was still kind of dealing with the broader theme of, like, everyone dealing with Beth and Jerry's divorce, like,
right.
It kind of was, like, fun in its own way.
Right.
Like, the arm, like, kind of being mad and Morty being mad and then, like, killing everyone in the Blood Dome.
The arm had its own emotional arc.
Right. He gets revenge for, like, his family being murdered.
Yeah, it's so weird. And I love the scenes with Morty communicating with the arm, too. Because, like, the arm obviously can't speak. It's an arm.
Right.
But even though there's this weird way that it can kind of, like, communicate with Morty through flashbacks. But, like, that scene where Morty's like, this is not over, isn't it? And the arm, like, starts trying to signal ways to, like...
Wait, do you mean it's not over? Or no, it isn't not over.
Yeah, that's, like, so great. I think... Ah.
The other really funny moment in the episode for me was when Rick, Beth, and Morty come back, permanently from the Mad Max world, and there's Robot Rick, Robot Morty, Robot Summer.
Even Robot Rick has, or Robot Morty has his own emotional
right,
arc.
Exactly. I was about to say, like, Robot Morty, like, they're about to leave, and Robot Summer's like, no, I'm real!
And then he had, like, the whole...
I want to taste ice cream!
Yeah, it's... Ah, man, that's the thing. The show has just, like, manages to be clever on, like, every scale. Like, in the small scale with just, like, each individual moment, on the large scale with, like, the whole arc and what they're doing emotionally with all the characters. It's just... It's brilliant. And I watched it for a second time today, and I, like, really... It really got to me. I think it's very smart.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's definitely one of the strengths of the show. It's just, right. Like, there's a lot of... There's a lot of layer. Like, it's not... Like, there's, like, such great humor, but then such great, like, depth to the characters also.
Yeah.
And it just... You get, like, super invested into, like, what is essentially, like, a farcical comedy.
Right.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, and I that's the thing about the show and actually, like, a lot of other kind of, like, adult cartoons that I've seen recently. Like, especially with, I don't know, I just think about the show in conjunction with BoJack all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, BoJack gets you to really invest in the characters and then just, like, kicks you in the nads with, like, how aggressive the emotional arcs and how brutal the emotional arcs are. Yeah, I know. Like, it's single tier. Like, for me, it's like full tier. Like sob emoji. Like, yeah. it's that powerful.
Yeah, we had go and listen to our podcast about.
Yeah,
season,
it was like one of our first. Three. It was one of our first podcasts in the ULP.
Yeah, it was.
And I just think it's so clever and so it just does it so effortlessly too. And it's obviously it takes a long time because it's taken like almost 2 years for the season to come out. But
yeah,
like. It seems worth it. It feels worth it to me. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's gonna be. Both episodes so far have been fantastic.
Right.
Even honestly, like I would not rank the second episode. I would not rank Rick Mansing the Stone, like among my top. You know, right. Among my favorite Rick and Morty episodes. Right. And like, there's still so much there that I enjoy.
Right. Right. And that's the thing about this show. It's just like it's. Average is like an A minus.
Right.
And so you're just like, oh, how can you. How like the show this episode was like an A, but there's so many that were just like I don't even know how to like talk about this, like I don't even know how to like assess how good this was because it just made me feel everything at once.
Yeah,
and it's like yeah,
I am curious. So both episodes we've got so far this season kind of have like a higher than average amount of like actual like story development, like in a broader sense.
Right.
Like, you had, obviously, the season premiere, like, Rick breaking out of prison, and, right. Like, then you get, like, Beth and Jerry's divorce and kind right. of dealing with that. I'm curious if the show is going to move kind of more in that direction. Because, obviously, like, through the first two seasons, they built out, like, a whole, like, broader context of the show outside of just kind of the adventures that Rick and Morty and whoever else go on.
Right.
Like, with kind of multiple universes and the Council of Ricks, even though they're kind of destroyed now in right. the Federation, even though they're kind of destroyed now. But, like, obviously we got the little, like, the post-credit scene in the first episode was Tammy with Phoenix Person.
Right, right.
So, like, there's that to deal with. So I'm curious. I really have no idea, but it seems like maybe the show is going to go a little bit, not entirely, but a little bit more in that direction.
Yeah, and maybe that's what the creators want to do, and that's like they've spent the time like really developing the characters and like having just like a bunch of like little bottle episodes that actually are very revealing and helpful, but now they might be like trying to do something bigger, like and try to take the season on some like a big plot. This is a really good point and something that like to look forward to going
I
through.
Would be excited if that was the case.
Right.
I think it's going to be great either way, but that'd be really cool to like have
the show be a little bit more serialized.
Yeah.
And, like, have episode 2 lead into episode 3 lead into episode 4.
Exactly.
Instead of just being...
And I don't think it'll ever be that way, like, 100%.
Sure.
But they're still going to have kind of isolated adventures right. going to, like, some random world and doing something hilarious.
Right. Like, this isn't Arrested Development.
Exactly. But at the same time, I think it'll add an even greater level to the show, like, an even greater level of depth to the show.
Right.
If you kind of have, like, at least... in an underlying sense, like a narrative carrying through it.
Yeah, it could start to feel kind of like Community Season 3, which has like this. Yeah, I know. this is like a Daniel Hill to die on, but like just like because it's a Dan Harmon show and that's a Dan Harmon show, like I see the connection between that. Like, I mean, if you think about it on the same scale, like Season 1 of Community and Season 2 of Community are really like, you know, building out character relationships. Season 2 is doing really bizarre things that just like are even more revealing, but also really experimental. Season 3 is also really experimental and interesting, but it has kind of like an arc that goes through it. It has like the characters like change in very specific ways that move into the next episode. Like they move in together. They there's this whole plot with Chang like starting to take over the school, and like it all these things happen, and it's really that. And because of that, Season 3 is like secretly super rewarding. Because like the finale is actually like really important. It feels like a finale, which is super cool. And so I would not be opposed to Rick and Morty doing the same thing. I think that would actually be really exciting.
I think so.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I don't know. Do you have anything else? Like any final thoughts to say about this TV show? About this amazing episode of TV?
So, not about this episode, but yeah. In the trailer for the season.
I did. Yeah. Okay.
There's a scene where Rick turns himself into a pickle. The next episode of Rick and Morty, episode 3 of season 3, is titled Pickle Rick. I am so excited for Pickle Rick.
I 100% think that's a fake out on their part.
No, it's Pickle Rick. It's gonna be an episode about.
But like, if it was anyone who would do that, like it was just like them being like, oh, this episode's called Pickle Rick. There was a trailer with Pickle Rick in it. But like, nah, we're not going to talk about Pickle Rick. That's not going to happen in this episode.
No. It's going to be Pickle Rick.
If it would happen in any show, would you probably place money on the fact that there's going to be a Pickle Rick in this episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of money.
How much money?
I bet you $100.
No, I'm not going to bet $100.
Because you know there's going to be Pickle Rick. Yeah. It's called Pickle Rick.
I bet like $5 that there won't.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
The first ever.
The first ever UOP bet. The Untitled Leisure Project becomes a gambling podcast just like really quickly.
All right. So this has been a pretty good podcast because I'm about to win $5 when the next episode airs.
Yeah.
Can't complain about that.
That's pretty good.
Hopefully it's been a good podcast for you, listener.
Yeah.
If not, sorry.
Yeah,
did our best.
At the very least, I had fun doing this. So.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, and who knows? No one makes podcasts for listeners. It's really just for us.
Of course. It's just, we're just indulging ourselves. Really. But yeah, thanks for listening. Really do hope you enjoyed it. Keep listening to all of The Voices' excellent podcasts. Make sure to subscribe to The Voices podcasts, The Voice Podcast Network on iTunes. Dan uses Overcast.
I really like Overcast.
You follow The Voice on Twitter at GTown Voice and at Halftime GU. You can check The Voice out online at www.georgetownvoice.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Daniel.
I'm DRVARG01.
You want to say that again?
Yeah, DRVARG. 01.
There it is. I'm at John_Block_NoH_John. Thanks again for listening. See you on the next episode of the Untitled Leisure Project.
Wubba lubba dub dub.